You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show post-game podcast, filling in for Drew Mandel for the next few weeks. I'm Michael Remus. With me is analyst Richard Pollack. Last night, safe to say, was one of the worst games in Jets history. And to follow it up, you'd like to think that they'd be able to come out and put that one behind them. But they followed up with an even worse game than the previous night. And the trilogy of games with the Jets and the Capitals at home just really didn't go the Jets' way.
Yeah, I don't know where to start, really. I don't know if there's anything nice to say. People paid a lot of money to see this game tonight, to see last night's game. That is an insult to people who work hard for their money. There was no anything. There was no focus. The defensive play tonight was absolutely abhorrent. I mean, the defensive play tonight was a textbook how you do not play defense and strategy and strategize in the National Hockey League. And I don't even know where to start on that either. I mean, we're going to go over the six goals, but it's just the same mistakes. Nobody cared. The fans in the third period, many of them left. And you know what? I don't blame them. This was not, I received multiple texts. I mean, the joke up in the press box is, you know, do you have a Mickey in here? You have something that nobody snuck one in, because that's what you needed to enjoy this game. And, you know, it kind of leaves you speechless, Michael, which isn't a good thing, because we have 3 hours of radio show tomorrow to talk about this. And I'm sure we'll have more to say even then. But I guess we can kind of do the goal-to-goal breakdown, but it's just more of the same. So let's get her going.
The Jets started off the game. They got a scrum in the corner, got a power play. Elsner and Wheeler were roughing. And it was pretty much the theme of the whole game, where the Jets would get these power plays. They had several, but they went 0 for 5 and couldn't score, and pretty much looked terrible doing it. They couldn't enter the zone. They couldn't make any breakout passes. Mm-hmm. They couldn't get it in the other end and set it up. But well, the scoring started off by Brooks Laik, who had another good game returning from an injury. He was able to park himself on the side of the net, pretty much near the faceoff dot, mm-hmm. and that's where the Capitals scored almost all their goals tonight. Ribeiro made a great pass from behind the net, and Pavlik's goings couldn't go side to side fast enough, and he's able to get it in.
I mean, they didn't allow a ton of shots tonight, the Jets, but Pavlik was left out to dry a bit, and so was Al Montoya eventually. You get down 1-0. You expect the Jets to come out hard. They really didn't. And you get down 1-0, and it seemed to just further deflate their confidence, I thought. And, you know, you get right to the second goal, and you're down 2-0 heading into the first intermission. And Washington has you where they want you. They can do whatever they want. They're a great speed team and transition team with skill, and they prey on mistakes and people trying to do too much. And that's exactly how this game turned out.
The Jets are a team that really need to score early to get going, and they usually, once you get one, they really feed off that one and are able to, you know, to score more, because especially if you're at MTS Center, if you can score early, mm-hmm. the crowd gets more into it and gets excited, but there's really no reason at all for anyone to get up and cheer.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's no reason at all for anybody to get up and cheer tonight. Tonight's game was it was a joke, and there's been many of those, so... I agree, Michael. Obviously, getting started early and getting a goal, that helps in terms of just everything you do. You know, you play a certain way, and you're able to capitalize on turnovers, and you get a certain amount of confidence. But that wasn't the case tonight, and one goal should not lead to the kind of display that we saw tonight.
4 minutes later, pucks bouncing around in the offensive zone. The Jets, they had some chances, were able to whack away, but then Hainsey goes in to pinch after the puck, leaving Bogosian behind.
I don't know why.
So then we got
what's the benefit?
He thought he could make a play
at the top of the blue line.
Either way, Brouwer and Ribeiro are going in both on the right side. So you kind of think, okay, what can these guys do? They're both on the same side, but Brouwer makes a great draw pass to Ribeiro, who was setting guys up all night.
Well, Ribeiro's a great passer, and then
Brouwer goes opens up for the one timer in the slot.
Right. So what happens is, Michael, is that Ribeiro's coming in on the right side, as you mentioned, and Ribeiro's on his off wing. Brouwer goes to hit the right to the left side, which is his off wing. So if you're a defenseman, you can't leave Ribeiro on his own, because he's on his off wing especially. You can't leave him to the goalie, because he's got every option possible. The angle isn't cut. And so Adapagosian played the angle fine. He kind of kind of played the middle a little bit to Ribeiro just because he couldn't give him everything he wanted. And Ribeiro's just a great passer. He thread the needle right to Brouwer, and Brouwer snapped it home. 2-0. And any life in this building after last night's game was completely gone.
Yeah, at this point, the Jets are down 6-0 after four periods in the last 2 days here. Going back, that's 9-0, even going back to the first Saturday game that was here. So you, as a fan, you think, oh, what are we in for again? I mean, I joked to Ezra after the first goal that the game was over. But I wish I wasn't right, but I was. The Jets just had no life, and they really – you'd like to see them come back with more energy in the second period, but they really couldn't at all. They started off the end of the first period on the power play, so they started off the second period with another power play. And again, it was almost embarrassing watching this power play.
It wasn't almost embarrassing. It was embarrassing. Power play is no confidence. Power play, Claude Noel, for whatever reason, continues to throw out the same players in the same formation. God knows why. Hasn't done anything. And, you know, he changed it up a bit at the end of the first period to send a message the last 8-10 seconds. He put out, I think, Burmistrov, Tingrady, and Cormier. But at the beginning of the second, he came right out with the same old unit again. And I know he tried Kane on the point near the third period, but I don't really see that as a fit, first of all. And second of all, it's too little too late. I mean, not only in this game, but so far in the season with the power play and the penalty killing, I tell you that. Don't be writing home about that either.
Well, in terms of, I was looking at the stats during the game, in terms of power play goals, power play percentage, power play time, the Jets are bottom five in the league in all those categories. And Ole Jokinen, who's for whatever reason is playing the point on the power play, has one power play assist all season. Is that right? Yeah, that's correct. No goals, one power play assist. It took this long for him to switch and put Kane in, but you said he's more of a fit probably in the half-boards in the shooting position where Ovechkin was tonight rather than on the point. Scoring started off in the second period about 5:50 in. The puck gets dumped into the Jets' offensive zone. Mm-hmm. Joel Ward beats everyone on the forecheck, was able to get the puck behind the net. Mm-hmm. Jay Beal goes to the right of a goalie, Pavlik, at this time, and he gets a puck on a stick and snaps one right through. The majority of the Capitals' goals tonight were all on one-timers.
Yeah, on this play as well, as if I recall correctly, the defensemen kind of both collapsed low on the post. But the problem was that they were collapsing low, and Achipov was already low, meaning somebody had to cover the slot, and that's where Beagle was, and that's where the goal was. Coverage problem, a communication problem, something you see all the time now with this team. More so lately, obviously, than the run of success. But again, the point is, it's a preventable problem. You're playing 5-on-5. You play the system that you play, and you make sure you cover the guy in front. I mean, how many guys need to be below the red line? Not covering a man. It's a rhetorical question.
Yeah. At this point, Noel likes to pull Pavlik, who some might say shouldn't have been starting anyways on back-to-back.
I was one of the people who said that. I thought they should have played Montoya tonight. Because then the problem now is, you know, do you play Pavlik on Sunday or not? And the other, you know, one camp says, you know, you don't, you play Pavlik both back-to-backs, and you give him from Thursday to Tuesday off. From Friday night to Tuesday off. The other camp is you don't play him back-to-back. You just play him, you know, you never play him back-to-back. You play the backup, so long as it's Montoya, who almost got injured at the end of this game. But now you've played Pavlik, and then do you rest him or not, right? I mean, there's that question. So I thought that was a misplay by Claude Noel, especially when you have the luxury of leading the division. And I know they still are, but you have the luxury of leading the division. So you can't go – you're not going to not lead the division after the game. Might as well put the backup in and get it out of the shot.
I thought – well, they pulled him. It wasn't – all the goals weren't necessarily his fault. A lot of it was defensive coverage.
Oh, yeah.
You got to take him out just mercy.
It's a mercy pull, yeah.
It's a mercy pull. Well, Montoya, he's in there for a few minutes, and Ovechkin takes a shot from between the blue line and the top of the circle and is able just to put it over Montoya's right shoulder. He's got one of the best wrist shots in the league, and he's able to place it where he wanted.
And was he ever covered tonight?
Probably not.
I mean, were they slanting towards him? They were allowing that weak side shot on the PK. They were allowing that weak side shot really all night. And on this particular goal, we're talking about Ovechkin skating down. I didn't think that this was when he scored on the right side, not the left side. So if you picture it from right to left, he's going up the top of the ice. And obviously, if you saw the game, you remember it. It was a kind of a quick wrist shot goal. tough for Montoya to maybe adjust. I thought the only thing that could have been done differently, and was actually I think this could have been done differently, it was Paul Postma covering him on the left side. And as I'm recalling this, and Paul Postma backed off of Ovechkin, and he gave Ovechkin all the room in the world to shoot. And Paul Postma has a long reach, so his reach wasn't long enough to get Ovechkin. So that's how much room he had between the player and the goalie, the player and the defenseman and the forward, excuse me. And you know what you hear a lot about is people talking about gap control. Well, that and that applies in the neutral zone, but that also applies in your defensive zone. You know, what is the gap between opposing player and defenseman? And especially based upon the scouting report on Ovechkin. What does he like to do, Michael? Does he like to go around and make a pass? Is that where he's most dangerous?
No.
No? What does he do?
Well, probably likes to cut to the inside and take a shot.
Yeah, but he's not
going
to cut to the inside when he's on his strong side wing. What's he going to do? Cut to the inside and backhand it? You're not worried about that, really. So long as you're not inside out, you're fine. He's not coming from the left side. So he's really going to do is he wants to rip the puck. He's a shooter. So what you do is you take the gap away and you say, beat me to the outside. I have help coming up the middle. Instead, Postma backs off, lets him shoot it. And that's what happens. Again, to me, that's a strategy play. To me, that's a smarts play. And I didn't realize Postma's like the seventh defenseman on the squad and isn't very good. It doesn't matter. I mean, physical ability and that part of that is obviously thinking the game. But, I mean, he's the offensive guy. He should know. Like, everybody in the arena knows Ovechkin's going to shoot that puck. You got to know that as a defenseman. And if you're not confident enough in your skating ability, that's fine. You're long enough and big enough that you can angle him to the outside and get help up the middle.
Forgot to mention the lineup changes coming to this game. James Wright comes out, and in comes Patrice Cormier. Mark Stewart was out with an injury, and in comes Paul Postma. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Jets are pretty thin on defense now with Enstrom out, and you got Postma and Meech coming in. But I thought the addition of Cormier was... I mean, everyone played terrible, so it was pretty insignificant. I mean, James Wright... Either way, it's not going to make a difference. So the Jets go in after the two periods. It's 4-0, and
game's
it's
over.
Looking pretty terrible. The game's already pretty much over. The Jets come out in the third period, take 3 penalties.
They were done.
They only gave up officially 1 power play goal at the end to Ovechkin, but do you want to? They gave up 2 goals in the third period. So the first one was Mike Green. It was pretty much wide open on the point and took a slap shot that beats everyone.
When you really break that down, it was a slap shot from the point that just got through. It didn't seem like there was a crazy screen in front in the replay a couple times, but you know, it's 4-0 at the end of a, in the beginning of a third period of a game that everybody's done. Half, you know, I'd say a tenth of the crowd had already left or didn't come back from the second intermission. So Mike Green's got a howitzer of a shot, don't get me wrong. I thought he looked good tonight. He's looked good. His return to the Capitals is a huge... makes a huge difference in terms of their playoff chances. Now they're 5 points back at the division. And, you know, as we said on the radio show, on the Saturday show, which I think last Saturday, we said, you beat the Capitals twice, they're done, right? You're up 7 points, beat them, they're down 11 with 15, 16, 17 games to go. Now they're down 5 with the same amount of games to go. Anybody's ballgame.
Well, not only do they lose these games, they get absolutely hammered and don't even look like an NHL hockey team.
And you look at the Capitals coming in here. I mean, they lose to Pittsburgh. Before that, they win, lose, play Carolina Rangers, play the Rangers on Sunday. I mean, nothing special. It's not even coming in that hot.
And the game was pretty much over at this point. The Jets had a few chances to score. Blake Wheeler hit the post.
Yeah, Blake Wheeler hit the post. Buffalo came in at a beautiful little dangle. But you know why? Washington didn't care.
Yeah, they didn't care.
Yeah, get out of here.
Yes, Buffalo has the mercy goal finally. Beats Holtby after almost three whole games here. Yeah. 8 and a bit periods. I mean, there's one that squeaked through his legs. He'd probably like to have it back so he could, has the team ever shut out a team 3 times at home? It would be something else. I don't know about that. But so the Ovechkin, we're going to talk about this last goal because the Jets' coverage on the penalty kill was, as you saw in the second period and the third period, it was pretty terrible. If you watch the replay, Ovechkin is pretty much left wide open on the left side of the net, and the Capitals are working it all around the right side, pretty much all night. Their strategy we talked about on the show is just to get it to Ribeiro and pass around, let him set everyone up, which they were doing. He set up a green.
For whatever reason, they were not. We're going to talk about this tomorrow on the show in depth. For whatever reason, they were taking away John Carlson at the point more than they were taking away Ovechkin and Brouwer, who were both closer to the net. I don't get it. And it's not like they have a great net front presence on a 1-3-1. We'll break it down tomorrow. But the point is, you're exactly right.
I don't know. Brian Little was shifting down to the front of the net when
Why?
He should have been
Why?
More in the top between mm-hmm. Ovechkin and Carlson, which if you watch those replays, we could watch him here. Ovechkin was wide open.
He was calling it. We were ready for it. It was like, oh, Ovechkin's open. He's open. Oh, there we go.
Oh, he's got the puck, and then he scores. And we're just like, oh, we saw that all coming from a mile away. So 6-1 was probably the worst game ever played at MTS Center by this generation of the Jets.
There's been some bad ones this year. And we're going to talk about this tomorrow, too. There's been some bad ones. I mean, yesterday night was awful. Like, was it Florida game they had?
Florida
that
game
was brutal.
They've had some really bad games, but other games they've played bad, but been able to win.
Rangers, Boston, Rangers didn't play bad.
I thought Rangers, Boston, and New Jersey here. The Jets didn't play great, and the other team also didn't play great. They missed the net repeatedly, and somehow they were only down a goal or two, and were able to squeak it out. But this one,
you talked about before, Michael, and I want to quickly touch on this before we wrap this up. But you talked about, no Enstrom and obviously Redmond's obviously got hurt, big injury. And although he was a seventh defenseman when he got hurt, he was below Postman on the depth chart. And then Stewart.
Yeah.
But let's look on the other side. I mean, Washington's got injuries.
Yeah. Oh, they've got injuries. Sure.
Oh, yeah. I mean, last time they played, the beginning they didn't have Brooks Leg. When they came here a couple weeks ago, their defense has half changed. Orlov is in. Jack Hillen is in. Oleski is in. And they had different guys last time. They had Kondratik, remember?
Oh, I remember.
They had Tom Pody.
Sure.
They had John Erskine. So don't use the, and I realize Enstrom's better than all three of those defensemen. Fine. But don't use the injury excuses. You know what? Come play the game, and their defensive coverage today, again, just stupid plays. Indefensible as far as I'm concerned. And the offense was garbage, too. I mean, this offense is, I think there needs to be a little bit of a shuffle in the lines, but it's not that they ever seem to be wanting to do that.
Well, it's almost like, what do you shuffle on? There's no pressure from anyone to come up and do anything. They're very thin at depth offensively. We had Chris Thorburn tonight playing on the third line with Jokinen and Mien.
Let's look at the past few games, right? So tonight they were terrible. They scored a goal. Washington last night they got shut out. So that's one goal in six periods. What were the games before that?
Boston, they scored two plus an empty net.
Two, so we're gonna count two. So that's three goals in three games.
And then Ottawa on Sunday was not great. I think
what'd they have? What'd they lose?
One or I forget what the score was.
Yeah, 4-1 or 3, whatever it was.
And Saturday,
obviously Saturday they were good and they were rolling in that second period. But I mean, the past four games, Ottawa, Boston, to Washington, you're not going to win that way. Regardless of how Pavlik plays, regardless of how Montoya plays, if you're going to not score at all, you got to play good defense, and they don't do either.
Well, they got next game Tampa coming up on Sunday. Anders Lindback is out with injury. And LeCavalier's out, so they were really struggling. Now they're a team that can score goals, but they're struggling. So hopefully, the Jets somehow recover from this and are able to put some goals on the board and make a close game for the paying fans that come here to see them every home game. That's it for the Legal Curve Hockey Show post game podcast. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/illegalcurve. Follow us on Twitter @illegalcurve. Stay tuned. Tomorrow, the Illegal Curve Hockey Show is on TSN 1290 from noon to 3. And we'll probably be going more in depth on the week that was for the Winnipeg Jets and looking forward to the week ahead. For Richard Pollock, I'm Michael Remus. Good night and good luck.